Hello and welcome to this week's Tuesday Sports Show with me, Ollie Roberts. Joining us today in the studio, we have Callum, Zonny, Alex and Alan. First up though, it's time to run you through some of the biggest sporting headlines of the week. Lewis Hamilton won the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix to finish his season off in style. The Brit recorded his 11th win of the season and dominated Sebastian Vettel from start to finish, as he seemingly has done all season. England won the third test against Sri Lanka and secured a 3-0 whitewash in the series, a feat which has only been achieved overseas twice before in England's history. Marin Cilic beat Lucas Pouy to secure Croatia's second Davis Cup title. The match was taken to three sets, but Cilic eventually prevailed to overcome the hosts and defending champions France. Phil Mickelson beat Tiger Woods on the 22nd hole of their $9 million showdown. With 19 majors between them, this was considered the last chapter in an enduring rivalry. And finally, Tyson Fury has announced he will donate all money earned from his fight against Deontay Wilder to charity and help build homes for the homeless. Fury stated in an interview, "I don't really have much use for it. I'm not interested in becoming a millionaire or a billionaire. I'm a boxer, not a businessman, and I'll probably go down the same route as every other boxer, skint at the end of it all. You can't take it with you, so I might as well do something with it and help out people who can't help themselves." In a poll of pundits in the November issue of Boxing Monthly, Wilder came out on top, but only by 18 votes to 12. So the experts definitely suggest that it's going to be a close fight. What do you guys think?
Truth be told, I think Wilder's going to kill him. I think that if the fight happened 2 years ago before Fury's suspension, I think Fury would win 9 out of 10 times. No one can spend 2 years outside of the ring and come back the same man. I don't think it's possible. He has had two warm-up fights granted against pretty much nobodies. Let's call it like it is.
But surely what you've just said, the fact that Fury's fought twice, albeit in lesser company, since Wilder's last appearance, which was in March, I think it was, surely that negates everything you've just said about being out, the fact that he's actually fought more recently.
Not really, because you've seen the pictures of Fury during his time out. Fury's weight massively ballooned almost. He was up to, I think, 20 stone at one point. And yes, he is looking in good shape. I'm not going to deny that. But it's not like during the whole time of his suspension, he was waiting to come back. He wasn't training every single day, getting ready for it.
I'd hate to predict it because it just depends so much on what percentage of the old Tyson Fury it is. If it's over 75%, I'd say it'll be a relatively easy decision because he's not the biggest puncher in the world. When he's facing opposition, he hasn't really knocked him out. So if he can keep, you know, taking the brunt of those Wilder wild windmilling shots off, if he can sort of take the sting off those for the whole, even just eight rounds, because that would give him a unanimous decision. So if he can do that and then survive to the end or whatever, if he can stay upright, he'll probably win.
We're now moving on to this week's big question, which is it morally justifiable for the NCAA to impose a ban on college athletes profiting from playing sport? I put a Twitter poll out on our Twitter yesterday. We had quite a few votes in the end, and the results are actually quite resounding. 0% voted for yes, 82% in favour of no, and 18% were unsure. So I'm interested to see what you guys in the studio think. I think we'll come to you, Alan, first. So what do you think about this whole debacle?
Yeah, so it seems like everybody who voted was in agreement that it wasn't morally justifiable. But if you ask this question, like, in America, you would get quite a different response. But, like, the reason why we say it's not justifiable is because, like, these kids are putting in a lot of effort, a lot of time. They deserve to be compensated. Also, sports, the collegiate sports environment is, like, a big revenue-generating thing. But the reason why, you know, like, the NCAA doesn't want to pay these kids money is because, like, they like every big organization, they're kind of like retrogressive, you know. They value their money, they love their money, they don't want to give their money away to kids who are young and irresponsible and might not make the right choices. But I mean, like, they deserve to be paid because they can't get an actual job while they're in college to, like, fund themselves. And maybe their families, like, you know, don't have a lot of money, so they're relying on, like, scholarship money. But whereas, like, a regular student can, like, get a job, a student-athlete can't because they don't have the time because they're putting in all their time to their sport.
Student-athlete is literally a term they came up with so that they wouldn't have to pay the workers' compensation.
Yeah, I know.
So you got that, and then they can't even fulfill half of that. They can't fulfill the student half. Like, I mean, Josh Rosen, who's the number 10 pick in the NFL draft last year, couldn't take a class that he wanted to take because it conflicted with his schedule. Richard Sherman, who's now in the San Francisco 49ers, he had a pretty eloquent rant about how, as a student, as an athlete, with your commitments between workouts, drills, and gym time, you actually don't have the time to be a proper student. So when you got that, when they can't even be a proper student, and when a lot of these guys won't be able to get a place in the NFL, whether it's through their particular skill set or because they suffer an injury when they're at the collegiate level, they can't even get paid in the future. So it's not even, oh, these kids are going to go off and make millions in the NFL anyway.
But for now, we're going to move on to some rugby union. England finished off their autumn internationals at the weekend with a 37-18 victory over Australia. Alex and I watched that at the weekend. It was a very good game from England's perspective. And I think never really in doubt, was it? I mean, we were speaking about the game before it actually happened. And we looked at Australia's side and they're just not the formidable force that they once were, are they?
No, I think that was the biggest thing to take from the weekend. They are appalling now. I mean, since I've been into rugby, I can't think of a weaker Australian side. A team with like less bite as well. Like they're soft. They get taken apart by any team they play against, really.
This is a game of two halves.
But anyway, we're going to start with Callum. So Callum's going to be arguing that Johnny Sexton deserved to win World Rugby Player of the Year. So Callum, your minute starts now.
Okay, so it's a weird thing to start off with, but I think Beauden Barrett's a better player. So immediately I think that's the case, but that's not the award. The award is Player of the Year. So it's who had the best year. Johnny Sexton basically won every competition he was in this year. The Hurricanes went out in the semis of Super Rugby. They had one loss in the Rugby Championship, whereas Johnny Sexton literally didn't lose an Ireland game that he played in this year. And if you really want to get into it as a tiebreaker, Ireland beat New Zealand head-to-head just a couple of weeks ago. So it's the main primary thing for me is that it's Player of the Year, not who is the best player. So Sexton had the better year, even if I think Barrett's the better player. And partly in terms of like why it will have gone to Sexton is that there's an aspect of voter fatigue. So Barrett won the last two. A Kiwi has won 8 of the last 9 before this one. So there's going to be a bit of, we don't just want to keep giving it to the same guys on top of. So even if you think it's sort of 51-49 from that argument of who had the better year, that's going to tip the scales onto Johnny Sexton as we kind of got bored a bit here. So it's primarily he had a better year at every level, whereas Beauden Barrett only had a great year at the Kiwi level.
Very well done, Callum. That's a good argument. I think it was the easier argument of the two. But Alex, you're going to try and make a case for Beauden Barrett, I think it is. So your minute starts now.
Okay, so I just need to think where I'm going to start. Right, so you said at every level, you say you made a... I think Beauden Barrett is... Like, you know, I like to make stuff about Messi. He is a victim of his own success. And the same with the All Blacks and everything. Just because he didn't have as good a year as the last 2 years he's had, I don't think that can be discriminated. I think when you said that at the Hurricanes level he didn't do it, he didn't win it. As you probably know, but he still scored 8 tries and 10 assists, which I think is pretty impressive. And, I mean, club and country level, Beauden Barrett's stats are far better apart from defensive and kicking, but there's only a 7% difference, which I think is big. If you watch them all their games back to back, I don't think you'd go, I think Sexton was better. And I think sports fans love to make these awards more about a team. Messi. So like 2010, Spain win the World Cup, they win everything. Barca at their peak. Why wouldn't you give it to the player that was in the Barca team and the Spain team? Why don't you give it to Busquets when he's just as important? He's like vital to the team. But I think you need to look at, you know, best individual performer. And I think if you just need to, you know, he's on the pitch, he speaks for himself.
Very good argument as well, Alex. I'll let you off talking about football for about 25 seconds because we're not supposed to be talking about that on this show. But anyway, Alex and Alan, not sure, you might not know who either of these people are. As I said, you could just pick whose voice you like the sound of better. But do you want to vote for who you thought gave the better argument there? Give some reasoning if you want. You don't have to. You can just say a name.
Well, I like this sort of unfettered power, but no, I think that's, to be honest, of the limited amount of rugby I follow, I think Callum's argument made more sense, whereas it's not necessarily the most talented, it's who wins the most and the most in form, to be completely honest. And therefore, well, I think that if we're not counting Sergio Busquets, which you devoted a good
no, Alex, your time is up.
Your time is up. Yeah, which you spent about half your argument ranting about. Then yeah, I'm gonna go with Sexton.
Could you sort of reason with Alex? Could you see what he was saying there?
I could, and I feel like the argument's kind of Callum's is more like it broke down into one was like who's. The club is doing well, therefore the player should win. Whereas Alex's was like, the player is doing well, therefore the player should win. I don't know enough about the statistics to determine based on that. I think Callum's argument sounded the more convincing.
So we've got two votes for Callum there, unfortunately.
We've had a tweet in from Sergio Busquets, though.
The thing is, I actually... at the end of the day, I have the ultimate power, so I will be deciding on the victor. And I genuinely found Alex's argument more convincing, despite him talking about football. Because, like you said, I mean, if the fans didn't want to vote for Beauden Barrett because he'd won it the last 2 years, but that didn't mean that he shouldn't have won it. I'm going to go back to football and I'm going to hate myself for this, but the Messi argument was a very good one because, I mean, it might get boring Barrett winning it, but that doesn't necessarily mean he shouldn't. And, I mean, there's Team of the Year as well. It's a completely separate award, isn't it? I mean, Ireland won Team of the Year. Johnny Sexton was in that. So even though the other two have voted for Callum, my vote is going to go to Alex. So well done him. I mean, make of that what you will. It was 2-1, but... yeah, I'm giving the win to Alex. So that concludes our second attempt at Game of Two Halves. It went rather differently to last week, actually. Got a lot more heated, I think it has to be said.
It's time for...
a quiz.
Zonny, I'm going to come to you first. So, can you name the Welsh boxer who fought from 1993 to 2008, winning 46 professional fights and losing none?
I don't think Patton's Welsh.
Four... three?
Hatton or Joe Calzaghe.
Which one are you going for?
Hatton.
I mean, of course that's wrong. I'll tell you why in a minute. But Callum?
Joe Calzaghe.
It's Joe Calzaghe.
Hatton's from Manchester.
Hatton Mayweather. Hatton Mayweather was like the most hyped up fight. Like, it was the first boxing fight I ever watched.
I was put on the spot.
You know
how
you talk?
Huh? Yeah,
he's a City fan.
You think Ricky Hatton is Welsh?
I said he didn't sound Welsh, but I was on the spot. I was panicked. You were pressing me for an answer, and I knew it was Calzaghe. I don't know why I said...
I'm actually going to deduct a point for that, so you're on minus one now.
Ollie, if I'm not sure, can I throw two names and then you let me have a...
I'll give you a bit of leeway sometimes. I'll make up my mind. But Callum, your question is going to be, who scored the most runs in the recent England versus Sri Lanka Test match series?
Ben Foulkes.
Ben Foulkes is the correct answer, and he's taken a commanding lead already. Alan, we're going to come to you now. The question I'm going to give you is, who is currently leading the NBA Eastern Conference?
Boston Celtics.
That is incorrect, I'm afraid. Have you got a guess, Alex? Or?
No.
I mean, at least he's honest.
I don't know if it's true now. Is it? Well, wait, the Eastern Conference.
The Eastern Conference.
I know the Raptors are doing well. Is it the Raptors?
It is the Raptors. That's quite impressive, to be fair. You're back to zero. Alex, moving
on. I'm still objecting to that in principle.
Yeah, well, you can't. So, moving on. Alex, who has won the Super Rugby Championship for the past two seasons?
The Crusaders.
That is the correct answer.
Even
and
I
Alex
knew that.
Is now on one point. Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't get asked it. So... Donovan, your question. You should get this one, given that you're a massive UFC fan. So, Daniel Cormier is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Khabib is second, but who is third?
So,
I didn't want to give you the pound-for-pound because I thought that was easier.
So this is interesting, actually. So, it's Cormier, then you said Khabib.
You got 5 seconds. We're running out of time.
Well, I'm just... No, take no. This is a... This could be quite a few. Could be...
We'll guess.
Guess. Three...
Two. You can't just put me on the spot.
Okay, no, moving on. No. Callum, have you got an answer?
This is absolute rubbish.
Callum?
You cannot do that.
Max Holloway?
It's not Max Holloway.
I have no clue.
Don't blame you. I don't really know much about UFC either. Alex, can you hazard a guess?
No.
John Jones?
Unfortunately, you only get one guess each. Sonneveld, you've missed your chance there. Unfortunately, Callum is still in the lead at the minute, and it's now his question. So, Phil Mickelson has won how many golf majors?
Eight.
That is incorrect.
Six.
It's not quite six.
Five.
The correct answer is five. Well done, Alex. That was absolutely phenomenal.
For the purpose of the listener there, you very obviously made it clear that it was one less than six.
I mean, no, of course I didn't. What are you on about?
The challenge isn't...
This is just the sign of a bad loser. So moving on, we've just about got time for one more question each. So, Alan, your next question is, in Major League Baseball, who has won the most World Series?
The New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees is correct. He told me at the start of the show he was a big baseball fan, and it's good to see him getting that question right.
Very easy question.
Alex, what question shall we give you here? Marin Cilic has reached how many Grand Slam finals?
Two.
It's not two.
Three.
The correct answer is three. Well done, Zonneveld. Well done.
Thanks.
Nice, nice to see you getting a question right. This week's winner is Callum. He didn't take a game of two halves, but he has taken the quiz, so well done to him.
This is URN Sport.